Hi, how's it going? It's
been a while.
A while, as in this podcast was recorded last Friday, and I sadly haven't had the time to get it out or do my editing on it, so my apologies if it sounds very rough and crazy. Being put down with a cold and trying to get better, so I sound a little better than I did on the podcast I went by. But having said that, we talked about, you know, the Russian invasion and how that's affected sports, and we talk about a few sports personalities. We slip in some Manchester United. Obviously, this was recorded before the heroics of Ronaldo this last weekend, and the rugby that happened in the URC, and Tom Brady deciding to come out of retirement after 2 months of nothing. So, you know, bear that in mind when you're listening to this. So much has happened between then and now. We will hopefully be able to get ourselves together for this week and weekend. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy listening to us waggle on about what's going on in the world and trying to understand everything that's happening. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thanks for listening, and we'll catch you soon.
Fence, and that says a lot. Here comes McCready. Oh, he just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What a play by T-Man.
How about the passion? Look at the animation on Tracy McGrady. Normally sleepy-eyed, very smooth. You don't see this kind of energy and passion. David Aldridge talked about it's playoff time. Look at the extension. Sean Bradley.
The crowd is oohing and aahing as we just did ourselves.
Well, let me give you a little quote that Jeff Van Gundy gave me today. He said, you know, I talked to Tracy McGrady about being a guy who can unite his team with his passing and inspire him with the great plays and passion. That was inspirational. That was an inspirational move.
Good afternoon. From good afternoon from Gauteng and from Germany and from places not very far from war. We're back talking. Most of this, I guess, we couldn't record last week. We're very busy people.
Yes.
And it's actually been good because we've had a little bit more time to. To now see what the hell is going on in the world.
More. And can I start off by saying something?
Yeah.
OJ Simpson did it. Just kidding.
I haven't listened to that podcast yet.
Sorry. To all the listeners there, I just have to troll William with OJ Simpson. Always obsessed. But yeah, besides that, man, like the last 2 weeks since we last spoke, more. I've lost track. You know when you lost track, like, because there's something happening every day, something. But we all know that because I'm right, I'm a journalist. The common thread I've noticed is that within the world of sports, everything is a fallout from the Ukraine-Russia conflict.
Sure.
The underlining the connecting thread being that now Russia has become the pariah of world sports. They're getting thrown out of just about every single federation. I mean, yesterday I was doing an article on how Georgia, even though they were going to qualify for the World Cup, I am convinced. But because the European Championship, I don't know what that tournament is called, has been postponed.
Six Nations A or something.
Yeah, has been cancelled because of Russia being suspended by World Rugby, and now the team, Georgia qualifies.
Automatically
to, so that's been the threat. Russia, Ukraine, and it's just ever evolving. Like every hour, there's something new.
So Russia and Belarus.
Eh? I totally forget that Belarus was complicit.
So let's start there. This is what Rugby Europe had to say.
Yes.
Following the initial decisions communicated last week. The Rugby Europe Board of Directors have gathered today, first, that was 1st of March, so this is 10 days ago,
yes.
to
decide on the additional sanctions following the ongoing Russian military invasion of Ukraine and related support of Belarus. If I start sniffling, I'm trying to be a professional and do this work. I have a little cold. I don't have corona, been tested. Okay. I don't have the Rona. My daughter, she picked up a cold, obviously, on one of our walks. Oh, yeah. And of course, then we're around her. So that's life. So to continue, I digress. World Rugby's made these decisions. So yes. and they were pretty much final this week. Suspension of the Rugby Union of Russia from membership of Rugby Union and from participating in all continental rugby competitions at all age games. So it's almost not even national men's women. Ha! Yes. All of you for that.
Hey, Vid.
Suspension of Rugby Union of Belarus from members. Same thing. Same WhatsApp group. Suspension of rugby unions of both Russia and Belarus from participating in any cross-border competition. So you can't even go there and play touch rugby. That's it. You can't, for example, they could play each other, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the
which discussion. Is not, I don't think, what Russia wants.
Of course not.
If they want to grow as a rugby nation.
Especially now. And you think, like, yo, Gary Gold went there to be the national. Buyuzanka is the national sevens coach.
Of Russia, no?
Of Russia, yo.
And remember when Putin's sports washing was truly underway with the 2014 Sevens World Cup
games.
No. Do you remember the, in terms of rugby, you remember when they held a Rugby World Cup Sevens in Russia? The most forgotten one ever. I think it was 26. Totally forgot. Don't you remember there was a Sevens World Cup in Russia?
No, because you see, that's how relevant it was.
Yes, it was like, nah. Even the Russian people were like, nah. So if the Russian people are like, nah, then you know it was not particularly done with the best of intentions. And
it was apparently the 2013.
Yes.
Rugby World Cup.
The most forgotten one.
So, we continue. Suspend with immediate effect representatives from Russia Russia and Belarus rugby unions of any representation of Rugby Europe and basically official positions. What's that? Out. Suspend with immediate effect Russia, Belarus rugby. So that's right. If that, you know. That's what it is. And when you think about 2023 being literally around the corner,
yeah,
it's here in France, so it's not far away from where I am right now. And you'd think how great it would be for Russia to, as a rugby, an emerging rugby union.
That would have been great.
I think on top, if they qualified, I think Georgia would have beaten them. But you never know on their day. You never know what may happen, you know.
And like, I don't know if I talked to you about this off camera, but or off microphone, where I said, my dream is to have the world powers, a Germany, a Russia, and the United States taking rugby seriously. Imagine having those three nations being very good at rugby, what that does for the profile of the game. I mean, in order to have a game growing, you need the most powerful, the most influential markets to take to it. And I know that sevens is a thing in Germany, Russia, and the United States, but do you want it to be at 15s level? You know what I mean? Because it means that money, like more eyes on the sports, it raises its profile, and then yada, 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 growth of rugby, more opportunity for bras like you to say, hey, I'm going to go coach in St. Petersburg. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a blow. It really is a blow. There's a the consequences, it goes to show the kind of consequences that such decisions have, and whether they have to be taken or not, but there is that consequence, you know.
I mean, okay, you know, let's also be okay. I mean, it's obvious that there were always going to be consequences. There's no ways that it doesn't matter which country they are, especially in today's world. You know, maybe 50 years ago, 60 years ago, 70 years ago, they would have said, screw it. We're going in, we're going to fight. That's what they would do 70 years ago. The impact today is much, much more greater because of the threat of nuclear weapons.
Yes.
That much is obvious. Right? And so, you know, sports and politics, I think in South Africa, sports and politics is a very intertwined thing.
Yeah.
Because I think South Africa uses sport to mobilize its politics and vice versa.
Yes. Okay? Yes.
And it has done since
forever.
Since 1990 up.
Yeah.
And South Africa is a sports mad country. Now, Russia, yeah, sports mad country. All this, Ukraine, sports mad country. These European, you know, and you think about the sports that are affected. Rugby is just a small, tiny little speck on the, on the spectrum. Rugby is like really tiny, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ice hockey, athletics, gymnastics, any winter sport really.
You know they kick ass.
Tennis. Now these guys that you know these big name guys, they said no to war and you know what the how do you you're a Russian athlete, and as a Russian athlete, you are going to speak out against the war. That's cojones, bro. That's major balls. Because what we're finding out here is if you are in Russia and you speak out against the war, they'll near me a jail to bro.
I've been seeing people have been getting censured like
15 years. Like that. One time. 15 years. Just no court date. You're just going. That's the law.
Yeah,
don't speak out against us. So that's that part is shitty. And
that's not sustainable. In this modern era, that's not... If Russia wants to be the leading nation on the planet, you can't have things like that.
No. Nah.
But then again, China does it well. But they've got their methods.
Let's leave them.
Yeah.
And, you know... Every day gets worse. So yesterday, these guys they bombed a hospital.
A hospital, bro.
Like this is a hospital. Know, newborn babies coming into the world. Yeah, and you know that's also a sad reality of war. But
war,
it's bad, man. It's bad because also you're now seeing like, you know, they have for real conscription. Their conscription is for real. Like, it's like men between 18 and 60 must fight. They've asked them to fight. They're staying behind. They're fighting for their country. And that, I think, is amazing. Right?
And I never thought... And can I tell you, it's not something you ever thought you'd hear about in the 21st century, yeah? It's something straight out of a World War II or some war survival when a country was being formed all those 100 years ago. Not in 2022. That I never thought I'd ever hear.
Let me put this into stark reality for you. Let me just put you this way. Where I'm sitting, there's a country between us and Ukraine.
Which is again?
Poland. Poland is right next to us.
Oh, yeah, Poland, of course.
And then the next country is Ukraine.
Yeah, yeah.
So imagine the fear then. I'm not saying it's going to get that bad, but. And I don't think Putin has the balls to kind of take on.
No, it's not a good. That would be the worst idea since Hitler. Since Hitler.
I mean, you know, to plug a show that I would listen to the ESPN Daily Show.
Yes, please. About
Vladimir Putin and how he's used sports to consolidate his power. It's unreal. But
I think it's the first time. That must be the first time where I might want to listen to an episode of a podcast again. It's very difficult to find re-listenable podcast, and because it's so informative, and I think everybody needs to take the time. ESPN Daily.
Right.
Really, really, yeah.
So some great, you know, and it's just Some great stuff.
Yeah, great content. We can go on forever.
We could go on forever. So, as you mentioned, as you said, Brittany Griner also landed herself in a little bit of hot water. You know, if
as
you're
a political,
So, excuse me, it's just coming out. So you're gonna hear me all the time. I'm very sorry. You know. So Brittany Griner, she's been in that jail a lot longer. It just got out now. So she obviously tried to leave. She plays, if you don't know who Brittany Griner is, she's a WNBA basketball player. She's an Olympic medalist. She is a really, really good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't make enough money.
Yes.
From the WNBA. So in the off season, she goes and plays a couple of months in Russia, and then she goes back home for the WNBA season, right? Good. She's on her way out. She wants to get out of the country, obviously. She feels in danger. And she gets arrested at the airport for having cannabis oil.
Yes.
In her bag.
Yes.
And she's been accused of smuggling significant amount of it. And they say, according to CNN, they say it's an offense punishable by 10 years. Now, a lot of people are saying, if you are on Facebook or any of these talking head platforms, because it's just people who know jack shit. But it's interesting to see what the normal, ordinary human beings like you and I feel. A lot of people saying, oh, they're going to use Brittany Griner as a pawn in this. You know, it can be a hostage. What are you thinking of this? Because, I mean, from a journalistic sense and from, when you have to cover sports and sports people, mm-hmm. people do wrong. Sure.
Yes.
Cannabis oil, as far as I'm aware, is medicinal.
Yeah, that's why I was like, so you're asking what I think of this entire, but I actually wanted to write about it this past week, but I did not know from what angle to approach it from. But
right.
I saw this before. It would have been a simple matter. Okay, she was arrested in Russia after much negotiations between the Russian ambassador and the US ambassador to the country. It's over. But unfortunately now, I am not in the least surprised. It's very easy to dissect this one. The fact that now NATO is at war with Russia politically and economically, this definitely will be a pawn. She will be a pawn because, remember, that's the best player in the WNBA. Think about that for a second. And you remember how I racialized it, like how I watch black folks will make a noise because, hey, you know, we need, there's always some kind of cultural flashpoint in America. It's going to then place pressure on President Biden's government to do something about it. Because I also wanted to mention how it would have been intriguing how this would have played out had Trump still been president.
Oh, God.
Because remember how he got involved with the balls in China?
China.
Who got arrested?
Jello, the one who's
yes, on. Yes, Mello and whatever. And now, this one, I think it's kind of the
D'Angelo. D'Angelo.
So now it's like, it is, because now, as I was saying, I was watching CNN, and, you know, it's a back and forth, to and fro between both governments. And I don't care what anybody has to say. This is political now. It definitely, she's a pawn. Because now the United States, power projection is that nothing happens to their citizens on foreign soil without them not doing anything about it.
Right.
And I think this will play right into the Russians' hands. It's right. going to get, it's just that now, if it was LeBron James or Zach LaVine or Russell Westbrook, it would have been a lot more controversial. But the point still stands that Brittany Griner is the draw card of the WNBA,
one of the draw cards,
she's now, yeah, she is one of them, and it's a very testy situation, because now it should have been a simple matter of, you know, okay, suspended sentence, some kind of fine, deportation at the most. It should have been deportation. You can't jail somebody for cannabis. Well, come on, man.
Bit mad, eh? It's a bit.
She's a pawn. Unfortunately, she is a pawn. I wasn't even aware that she'd been arrested up until the invasion began. People think that she got arrested after. No, it was before.
Just that the news broke after.
Yes.
That's the thing.
So, yeah, no, she is a tool, and I don't know. Okay, she's not a tool, like.
No, she's being used,
you
know, as.
Some people might mishear you, but yeah, no, she's in a spot of bother right now. It's not going to end anytime soon. It's actually caught my attention. It's something I intend to pay a lot more attention to, because as we say, sports is very intrinsic to how the world operates politically and vice versa. And the fact that it's an elite American athlete who's in CAC, that's what makes it more tasty and more attention grabbing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it really is dramatic. It's just that because the bombing continues unabated, it's not getting as much attention as it should. Yeah.
Yeah. Well said. I think that's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I'm sorry. I'm sad for her. I just hope that she's been treated properly. That's all. That's all we.
Yeah. No. More. We cannot ask for. You know, just treat her with respect.
Yeah.
And we can sentence her.
Oh, man, this. Like I said, I don't know how I can best.
I think once more, a bit more information comes out.
Yes. Yes.
Then we could look and be like, ah, all right, so we got to wait a week or two days or see what comes of this. So,
yeah,
you know.
But now that, because now it also hits closer to home, because South Africa was once the skunk that Russia is, remember? We got thrown out of everything because, well, apartheid. So it's something we can actually relate to. I'm surprised South Africans haven't actually looked at it from that point of view, that we've been in Russia's situation before. So for those who sympathize with Russia, for whatever reason, also for those who are on Russia's side, also understand that we've been the skunk of the world, as Mandela once put it.
So I mean, we've been there. We know the story.
We know the feel. So instead of just saying,
no. But the big difference is,
yeah,
as I'll never, ever defend the apartheid system.
Yeah, no, never.
You know, but the big difference is we didn't want to take our shit into, well.
Exactly.
We could look at maybe, you know, with Namibia and the border wars in Zimbabwe all of that. Maybe you could look at all of that and go.
Yeah, that's a stretch. I don't think they'd give a damn.
You know.
I don't think everybody would have given a damn if apartheid government was a democratic one and they attacked Namibia, or because, you know, they wouldn't have given a damn.
I don't know. But it's tough to say. It's really tough to say.
Yeah.
Let's not put ourselves in a hole where we end up getting into trouble saying something that we'll
regret. But later. Look, William, we're at that point where we cannot hide. The thing is, that's what I've come to learn. It's not a matter of, you know, what I've come to learn in terms of this conflict is you don't have to take sides, but we have to speak up.
Yeah,
we have to say something. Now we've come to that point where we have to speak up, because now things are very dicey in terms of world stability, because this will encourage. I'm telling you, there will be consequences. We will feel the consequences of this much, much later. Like somebody said in 2003, when the United States went into Iraq, that you are now setting a precedent that somebody else will emulate in the not too distant future. Because no American is going to tell me anything. I'm sorry that we're digressing. No Americans, you needlessly started two wars that you failed to win. You admitted defeat last year by pulling out your soldiers from Afghanistan. That was, you failed. You literally failed.
Because I think that was more of DT trying to spend less money.
No, but Putin, no, it was Biden's decision, though. So it doesn't matter. The president who had to make that decision was screwed either way, whether it was Obama, Trump, for Biden.
Sure.
So at the end of the day, like, this is where I look at my American friends. I'm like, you guys started this. You started this. You set
well, the I think Putin, I did see a clip of Putin drawing the parallels.
Thank you. You set the precedent. You made. Has America been punished with this for the invasions of?
No.
Exactly.
The only thing
is the guy with the biggest stick.
The only only punishment really is that they spend far too many resources.
Exactly, and now they have to deal with the constant threat of terror attacks. Every American citizen is the target of a terrorist group. It's a fact, and it's never going to end. It's never going to end. So, hey, I'm like, typical. It's not the chickens coming home to roost what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, but it's just a matter of the fact that you've shown us that if America can do it, then why can't I, as Putin, do it? Even though I do not in the single least agree with what he's all about. There's no need for this, but yeah.
I mean, a man gone fucking crazy, but we'll get there. We'll get there towards the end. Let's move to something else. It's still part. You see, unfortunately, it's all intertwined with what we're.
Yes, it is.
And the UK government, because you know Boris Johnson does never not want to be involved in something. Another one of my favorite silver-haired middle-aged white men. yeah, I went there. He's, the government has decided that Roman Abramovich, you are now being sanctioned and all your assets are being frozen. And while you are still the owner of Chelsea, because it's up for sale, but you're still the owner.
Yes.
We're freezing their assets too. So yeah, there were memes about N'Golo Kante is now going to feed everybody and drive the team bus. And... but this is how far-reaching this is now, isn't it? Because when you think about Chelsea, okay, when we were growing up, Chelsea was
they were there and thereabouts
in the late 90s. They were coming 2000, 2001, 2003, when things really when the money started to come in, and you know. Leagues, Champions Leagues.
Adding to your point, they're the most successful English team of the 21st century. Just
correct.
To...
Yeah, sure. I don't deny that. Mm-hmm. And now they've frozen the assets. They've effectively said you cannot buy tickets. Season tickets are on hold. You know, you cannot buy away game tickets even. Because, you know, they always have an allotment of tickets for traveling fans. We haven't actually discussed it, but where are you, I'm getting you to talk a lot more today than clearly.
Mm-hmm.
As you can tell, man, I'm starting to sound like Barry White here. But where do you see this going? How far-reaching do you actually see this going? And the impact on Chelsea as a business, because how much money do you make off? You make so much money off ticket sales alone, right? Season ticket holders are essentially contracts. You know, that's you're buying that every year or renewing and renewal. And where do you see this going? How deep do you know? How deep is this going to actually sink them? Our players going to leave? What are you seeing?
All right. So first, I'll answer that by saying that obviously they are buyers. They are willing buyers. I mean, Chelsea is in the biggest football market on the planet, which is London.
Right.
It's a blow for the image of the club. It's a bad, the reputational blow because, I mean, but it was something that had been predicted for a long time, that this thing of having a Russian oligarch owning you might affect you in the long run, and the chickens have come to roost, right? However, I don't think it's going to affect them. They're going to have buyers. What the issue is, how flush with cash are those buyers? Chelsea will be fine. Chelsea will be fine. I think so. They'll be fine. Unfortunately, it's just that now they are going to suffer if they get placed under administration, because I think they're going to be placed under administration because of some technicality.
Yeah.
They could, when that happens, is you get automatically stripped of 9 points. It's the rule. So it's going to affect them in terms of Champions League if it comes to that. But in the long run, I'm telling you, Chelsea will be just fine. I don't think they'll be as rich as they used to be before, unless they get the kind of money to compete with what Roman Abramovich had injected into the, like, but like, I think, so the biggest issue for them is just their reputation. Their reputation has taken a big blow, but they'll be fine. They're too big to fail. They're too big to fail. And it now also comes back to how, I know it might seem irrelevant, how in a few years ago we were rumored, Manchester United was rumored to be in the sights of the crosshairs of Mohammed bin Salman. And you, as I think it was the Saudi government's way of testing the waters. Right. And there was an immediate outcry within the United fan base in the United Kingdom, which is obviously the most influential one, which were like, we'd rather be owned by these useless Americans than a human rights violator. So there's so much at play here. It might also bring the likes of PSG and Manchester City under the scrutiny, because they were bought for the very reason that they were there to sports wash the United Arab Emirates. That's a fact. That's what's going on there. We know that. It's not about improving Man City or improving PSG. It's about the image of the Emirati in the Western world. So now they're going to have to, because it's going to give, what's happening to Russia, the shunning of Russia is then going to give activists ammo to say, hang on, if that guy can get sanctioned for being an associate of Vladimir Putin, can you please answer Newcastle being owned by Mohammed bin Salman's consortiums, Manchester City being owned by the Abu Dhabi group, as well as PSG being owned by another interest group from the Middle East or something. So it's going to raise questions. I'm looking forward to the political ramifications of it, because now the precedent that the United Kingdom government has set, we're going to feel the ramifications later. We're going to feel the consequences later, but it's very bold. It's controversial. It's hypocritical. It's a complex decision. There's no wrong or right way of looking at it, but a precedent has been set. Let's hope that that precedent does not come back to bite somebody in the ass. We don't know how it's going to come back and bite the United Kingdom in the ass, but I think it will. Somehow, not that it was not necessary or not, but something is going to come out of this. But Chelsea will be okay. I think Chelsea will be fine.
I think where you say, like, the ramifications of you know, other clubs being looked at, or I don't think it's there yet, because the other clubs, their countries, as fucked up as they all are, they're not the ones right now causing a war.
Exactly. But, you
know, and that's the reality we have to look at.
But then again, what that Yemeni war, we all know that Saudi Arabia has got interest, big interest in that.
Not sure.
There's a lot to answer there. There's a hell of a lot to answer there. But then again, we have to bring race into it, because it's a fact. I'm sure you've seen the way we've all seen the videos comparing how the Ukrainian invasion is being compared to what happens in the Middle East or in Africa. You know, the loaded racist language that has been used by media. Because if Yemen was a European country and Saudi Arabia was busy with their nonsense, do you think everything would have been taken lying down?
No.
So the hypocrisy, the thing is, it's the double standards. And the fact that now Saudi Arabia and their oil, that's another issue. That's why maybe people are going to turn their are going to blind themselves to that reality. So hence we say sports washing is a sports washing. There is a consequence and there's a positivity to. There are consequences to sports washing and there are also positive aspects. And there are also geopolitical aspects you need to look at. The fact that Yemen is a Middle East Arabic country. So nobody's going to pay as much attention to them being harassed by Saudi Arabia as to Ukraine being harassed by Russia. Because, I mean, after Ukraine is Poland. And Poland is more or less in Germany. So,
right.
So you understand how the double standards at play is what intrigues the rest of us. And it gives us something to talk about.
I think, yeah, it's I'm gonna bring this up in a second.
Yeah.
I think what it does, okay, I mean, we could talk about the racial aspect of,
yes,
of media coverage and of, oh, let's just say it, they were not letting out African students as, yes, easily as they were letting, yes, out Ukrainian people. I'm not going to go into that because I think it's, at this point, I'm not even surprised. And that's, yeah, bad. Exactly. And that's bad.
We're going to pretend to be shocked.
I'm not even surprised. And in some cases, it's like, you know what? People will go on about, oh, what did Black Lives Matter do? And why this is what it was about in a war situation. And you have it right there. Whose life is more important? And that's what it was. That, for me, I don't care who, you know, I really couldn't care less what you look like. If I've got refuge for you, I'll do my best to.
Yeah, boy.
And I think this is also part of it. So the media got excited because obviously it's a European country. It's right here. Next to a man who's now become a dictator and really solidified that in the last 4 years by getting that constitution change so that he could stay on for another term. I think we have to accept certain situations are what they are. I do think he's sick. I'm looking at his face all the time. I think he's sick. I've said this before.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wouldn't mind going to give him my cold right now to see exactly how sick he is.
You would think that he strikes you as an immortal, doesn't he? He looks like for this longest time, the image that he's projected to the world is, I'm the strong man. I'm just like unbeatable. So the concept of him being sick and is actually shocking. It takes you by surprise because of the image.
But look at him. Just look at him a year ago, now, maybe 3 years ago. Yeah, obviously age and all that. But look, just look, yes, at him. And then look at how he deals with certain things. It's quite, oh, I think also what worries me and what really scares me is, and I keep saying it's like, as I'm watching it all unfold, I'm wondering what the purpose is, you know. So if you're an athlete or a journalist, you know, you're a journalist. Your purpose every day is to get up and write a story, two or three or four or whatever. You have deadline. Yeah, but that's your job. That's what you get paid to do. And you love doing it. And that's your purpose. It gives you drive and it gives you, it might be tough sometimes. Sometimes you complain. Hey, I've got six stories to get in by Wednesday. Where the hell am I going to find the time? Plus I have this, you know, but you make it work because you're passionate about it, right? If you tell me you're going to liberate people and you haven't liberated anybody, well, you've got some shit going on. I think the sporting aspect of a Chelsea, of Roman Abramovich, of all these tennis players, mm-hmm, all these athletes, all these things, is so prevalent because we're now learning that our platform is so much bigger than what it was before. So we all thought that these American guys were crazy doing these BLM marches. And not because, why shouldn't they go? No. We thought they were crazy because of the business of sport. And whether we like to admit it or not, in a predominantly white country, as an African-American athlete, or an athlete that is dark,
who doesn't come from there, and you play for the town's biggest thing. You know, I don't know what's really big in Milwaukee, but Giannis is the biggest thing since sliced bread there, right? You'd think this is crazy. Now these guys are talking up, and now you have athletes here and there. Oh, I'm not going to play against this Russian athlete because unless he speaks out, unless he or she does this and that. And you know, this is the sad reality of the world we live in right now.
Kaepernick walked so that everybody else could run. I wonder if had that. He knelt so everybody could walk and run, if you think about it. And now to hear people suddenly have
encouraged
to stand up and speak up, it's like, but that's what Kaepernick did, right?
Yeah.
What's the problem now? It's like, come on, you know, sometimes you double standards, bro. Double standards will drive you nuts. You can't be on both sides. The double standards, take us seriously, bro.
Yeah, it's
take us seriously.
It is quite bad, and I really hope that some, you know, it seems like the convoy keeps getting disrupted. People are fighting hard.
We expect Putin to win, but
I don't expect him to win.
I expect him to conquer Kyiv. That's a victory, right?
You know, I don't think they will conquer Kyiv because at the moment, the way the sanctions are now, sanctions don't. And I think this is also what, you know.
Okay.
I've had to talk about a few times. Sanctions don't affect you now. South Africa being sanctioned now. Because all the stuff that's going to be delivered or thing is going to be delivered. But if they sanction you now, those things are on their way. But in 2 weeks, for example, like, look, it's been a week or two now. Almost 2 weeks, 3 weeks now.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're starting to feel the effects. Tanks are running out of gas. Planes don't have gas to take off as in fuel, you know. Getting people in and out. Yes, they're getting support from different entities and groups, but at some point he's in a tough spot, and I think he's created it, and he for some reason thinks he can take the whole country. I don't know how he thinks that, but there's two more things. Carol,
we're going to pay. Unfortunately, the rest of us are going to pay for it, man. I mean, the rates of petrol price going up to as much as 30, 40 rand.
Listen, yes, it's 2 euros, 10, 11 here, and sometimes can be 2.30 sometimes, because it fluctuates here. So like if you go in a certain time, it's always going to be over 2 euros. Plus they have a 30 cents tax on the price here for the CO2, because they're must-mos. it just frustrates you. But there's two more things. One thing that's just hit me now, and the other thing is we're going to talk Nikita Mazepin. because my man is not happy. Sorry, bruh. But excuse me, so I need to blow my nose. I just don't have tissues.
Yeah, I can tell you're suffering over there, comrade.
It's actually coming out, bro. It's like the worst is over. It's just now coming out. We tested yesterday. I was so like, oh, thank God. You know, because we've the rugby team has been hit. Yeah, you know, we lost eight guys down. COVID. 8 guys on COVID. It's, And from the 20th here, on the 20th of March, pretty much all the restrictions are away, you know, in certain places. So, you know, obviously there's what they call house rules, you know, let's have some fun with this. Dimitar Berbatov, my man.
Yes.
He's urging Manchester United to sign
Chelsea defender Antonio Rudiger before...
Yes.
When, not even before, when the defender's contract ends.
Yes.
But believes the lack of success could deter the serial winner from moving to Old Trafford.
Yeah.
Where do you stand on that? Because, you know, Harry Maguire...
Remember, I thought you were going to mention how it was Dimitar Berbatov who has been openly stating that Harry Maguire must be dropped.
No. I wasn't going to say that, but that's hilarious.
Yeah. It's, you know, the Maguire issue, right? It's a symptom. He's not the problem. He's a symptom of the problem, of the standards that have dropped. He is like that punchline to the joke that United is. You can't have a situation where the club captain is a joke, a standing, I said this before, he's a standing joke. And I think Ragnick on this one, unless he's been told to play him because he cost 80 million, which I doubt it. Ralph Ragnick strikes me as his own man. He's not going to listen to some banana republic. That's something you'll do in South Africa. South African soccer is a banana republic. That's a different. But we've got a credibility issue at Manchester United. And if Manchester United can face the fact that we wasted money on Maguire, then so be it. But Rudiger would be a win. I'm surprised, up until this issue at Chelsea began, I'm surprised that Chelsea were not considering extending his contract, because I was like, you'd be losing a very good player. Why aren't you fighting more for him? But right. That's not our problem anymore, because Chelsea's got bigger problems.
Chelsea don't know whether the cafeteria is going to have food tomorrow.
Exactly. So, with regards to Rudiger, at Manchester United right now, it's a matter, I think the biggest transfer aspect of their transfer policy is who they let go. Because we've been recruiting poorly since Sir Alex Ferguson's retirement, it's now a matter of saying, okay, let's cut our losses. Let's cut our losses with Ronaldo. Let's cut our losses with Pogba, Rashford, Martial. It's about who you get rid of, because there are people who are stinking out the club. This is what happened to Real Madrid. Remember when Real Madrid was a joke? When they started buying a Galactico every July.
Every 15 minutes.
They got Beckham and then they turned it into Disney. Real Madrid turned into Disney. Yes, they Disney-fied Real Madrid. And Real Madrid couldn't win because it was more about winning on the marketing scoreboard.
Transfer market, yeah.
Exactly, instead of on the pitch, which is exactly what Manchester United is going through at the moment. So if it means stabilizing our defense, yes, because Varane cannot stay fit. When he's there, there's stability in our defense. Lindelof, Maguire brings out the worst in Lindelof and the other way wrong. So if we were to get Rudiger off a free transfer, sorry for going on a long-winded route to my win, but if we got Rudiger on a free transfer, what a win. What a win. But he won't solve our problems, because as we all know right now, Manchester United has got one of the most talented teams in Europe, but it's broken individuals. It's just the wrong people. They are broken. It's just the wrong environment. These guys, if you were to take them out and put them in a different environment, they would thrive. I will bet on it.
I mean, I've said this to you before. I mean, I think because there's so much instability in terms of how long Ragnick, you know, this whole thing of him being
something that must be addressed.
That needs to be addressed. And if Rudiger comes in, he's also a no-nonsense type of guy. He don't bullshit that.
Thank you.
No, he doesn't fuck her up.
And remember, those were the great Manchester United defenses. They always had a Vidic or a Pallister or a Stam or something.
Rio Ferdinand.
They had a no-nonsense somebody to compliment. And we thought that Maguire would be that no-nonsense guy, but clearly the jersey is too heavy for him. It's clearly too heavy for him. And it, but there was a point that you said. You mentioned, so I just keep forgetting. But now, Ragnik.
Right.
Once we know the story there, because anybody would like to coach Manchester United, but the issue is the disconnect between the board and the technical aspect or side of the club. There's that disconnect. And we've been under the impression that Ragnik would be the one who would go upstairs to fix, to be the link, to be the filter between. So now,
Thomas Tuchel is not going to do it. Here's my thing. Maybe he will. Maybe he will, because he took Chelsea from relative.
Yep.
They weren't playing well, let's be honest.
Yeah, and now he's got them winning.
You know, I think part of it is, I'm a firm believer in right. Think about most European clubs. It doesn't matter which sport. How long some of the coaches have been in position and have won. Just think about it. Not too many, right?
Yeah. It even took Pep 2 seasons to win. That was just long for him. It was long. Tuchel bucked the trend because he won from the beginning. But correct. When I think about it, it takes him 1-2 seasons. Okay, Mourinho was also a special...
Yeah, no, but Mourinho also had at the time, Mourinho had... when you have funds at your disposal, let's be honest, if you have funds at your disposal, you're able to play with a lot more.
Yes.
Now, you're gonna have to sell. You're gonna have to dump. That's a faux pas.
Hello.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought. So I think they're going to have to dump another contract in order to get Rudiger. If you're going to get, you have to dump. There's no way.
No. They need to clear the wage bill.
Yeah.
So clearing the wage bill, Pogba's going.
Is he really? Is it not?
Pogba's going to go. I think Pogba's going to go. I think Cavani's going to go. That's going to ease. That's a lot of money. Pogba and
Cavani, I don't see Pogba going. I don't see Pogba going. You know why? Because I see them.
Why?
Partly because of the jersey sales. Think about the Glazers, bro. Listen, let's be honest now about the Glazers. Let's just look. Let's watch Tampa Bay this year. Case in point. And it'll be obvious to us exactly what the Glazers are about, because they won a Super Bowl. They got very close last year.
And they were almost there this year too.
They were almost. That's what I mean. That this year, listen, last year. Sorry, this season, they were very close. And now you're going to see this thing of boardroom. This thing of boardroom and having that disconnect, having that connect. Now you're going to see it with Tampa Bay and how they manage Tampa Bay, and then we're going to see how they manage Manchester United. And unfortunately, going back to Ragnik, and then I'll round my point up, but going back to Ragnik, then him not being this connect, now we've got to dump a contract. I honestly don't see them getting rid of Pogba, because Pogba puts bums on seats. And he can play, and his jersey sells. They've got to make Ronaldo happy. Pogba leaving is not going to make Ronaldo happy. Right? That's a fact. Get rid of Maguire, you bring in Varane, you dump another contract, so you're saying Cavani's going, fine. You dump those two contracts, that's 100 mil, maybe?
somewhere. I'm not look, I think a lot of people are like, Harry Maguire should go. Like, I think Harry Maguire just needs work and work on his confidence. But you can, we've also
take him off. Take him
you've
out
also got to look at the fact that years ago, what was Manchester United? What was Manchester United? A youth academy.
Yes. And it still is, though.
And it still is.
Still is.
Now,
when you think about your... Yeah.
Yeah. Now, what we do know is Anthony Martial wants to go.
That's another... That's a lot of money off.
But maybe, they say, if Ragnar can give Martial... Martial's been in and out, and his talent has been... Martial, if you could convince him that he's going to get regular football, because that's what he needs.
Yes. That's what he
needs. I think Martial has, and I'm going out on a stretch, he's not going to be a 1A striker or one. He's not going to be a one, but he could be a 1A. Definitely.
Yes.
He could make the French national team. He could be a World Cup winner. I think he could, you know, I think he could be a Benzema if given the opportunity to play. Okay? So you dump that contract.
Yeah.
You bring in a Rudiger. If you dump Martial, you've got to then let go of Eric Bailly as well. As much as I love Eric Bailly, and I love him, I think he's a fantastic, fantastic centre back. Hard as just
will
break your leg if you go into the box. He's
when he breaks, he breaks himself.
Right? And that only happened when he got to United. Before that, he was fine.
Then it's like, what happened? I think, okay.
We need to go and stare at that training staff.
We used to have, that's something I'm going to thank Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for. Transforming the medical department at Manchester United. Remember the injury crisis that used to affect? Remember our injury crisis? Now it's...
David Moyes had injury crises. Louis van Gaal was so injured. We had so many injury crises that he had to lay on the ground.
Playing the youth Man United youth team that day. I'll never forget that day when we beat Arsenal using our academy. Like, what the hell, dude?
Right.
So he was unfortunate. Right man at the wrong time. Right place at the wrong time. And those injuries, man.
Let's see what happens. I'll be interested to see. Because I reckon if Ragnick says, fine, no, the 6 months is up. I've done what I've needed to do. I'm going into the caretaker. I'm going into the... because you know, Ragnick was thinking, I'm going to make money here. I'm going to go into this administrative role. You bring in a Thomas Tuchel.
Yes.
The whole...
Or Eric Ten Hag. There are two players.
Did Zidane sign a contract? Has Zidane signed a contract?
Yeah, he's very quiet. No, things are very quiet, but I doubt he's going to come to Manchester. I doubt it.
I can't come for a 37-year-old centerpiece. That's what my argument would be. It's like, as great as you are, and you are great fella, is it worth me putting my sock in a 37-year-old guy?
Yeah. That's the thing. So just the people we must consider would be a Ten Hag, Pochettino, and a Tuchel. I doubt Pochettino is going to happen because he's a bottler. He showed it again on Tuesday when PSG got knocked out by Real Madrid. When that no business. So whatever happens, that's probably the most important thing with Man United. If we can just stabilize, and it's not that hard. I mean, you're a coach. You understand. Just stabilize what's happening in the change room. And
the club
will look after itself.
You know what, though? Like, one thing I'm probably blessed with maybe right now in my coaching career is that I don't have to deal with millionaires.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something I was saying this the other day. Like, if you get a sponsor, for example, somebody says to you, we want to give you 100K for your club. Please. You say, all right. And what do you want to... You don't tell us what you're going to do with 100K. We just want to see results. Right? The next year, they say, oh, you've used our 100K so well that you still have 20 or 30 of it. You've got, at least you've got 30% of it left. Great, amazing. What did you do with it? Oh, we paid a coach. We invested in our youth system. We upgraded some facilities. We put in a gym. Oh, la, 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 la. Great. They come and they say to you, I will give you a million. You know what a million does? It brings a million problems. Because then people start really seeing where the money goes. And that's the thing with millionaires. You have millionaires, players, billionaire owners. You have a coach who's not quite a millionaire. Maybe he is. Dealing with these and dealing and trying to manage all of that.
Yeah.
And then you've got millionaires who don't play well, and that's their job.
Yes.
And so sometimes I think, like, stability is some. I try my best.
Get rid of,
you cut the rot quickly. You know, you cut the shit, as I always say. You cut those who are going to be a negative, you know, a toxic environment, whatever. Try and get rid of that because you don't want that impacting your team.
How did Klopp and Pep do that?
Klopp don't fuck, man. Klopp don't fuck around, bro. Klopp don't fuck. Get out. It's my way or the highway. And you notice how much he laughs and smiles and why he hugs his players, how much his players love him. You notice that? You notice how, okay, Pep is a bit crazy. He measures their body fat and fucking tells them what to eat. But look how much they love him.
Pep is nuts.
Look how much they love him because they win. So let's see. You know, it would be great. So this last little piece, unfortunately, we have to go back to the Russian. I don't know how much you've caught of this, this story. So Haas, the racing team, yes. Haas, they have a fairly famous racing driver's son as their number one driver. I think we know who I'm talking about. And
Mr. Mazepin.
Oh, man, shut up, man. Schumacher, dumbass. And
sorry.
Well done. One job. One job. One job.
One job. Sorry.
One job. And then sports journalist. One job. And then they've had this Russian billionaire's son in the second seat. And I think it then came, you know, one and two. Now, because of the sanctions, Haas said, no, we can't have FIA, no. We can't have you sponsoring the team. Sorry about that. We have to take the seat away from you.
Mm-hmm.
The son, all 23 years old of him, Nikita Mazepin, however you say his name, I'll get corrected later. He's distraught because, you know, this is his dream. This is what he wants to do. He's got nothing to do with the conflict. But your father's an oligarch, bro. So obviously, you know, sorry, it's shit. Yeah. You know, it's hard.
It is a problem.
And unfortunately, this is the other thing. Sorry to cut you, but this is the other thing. Why does everybody know who the oligarchs are? Why did they open their
why or how?
Why and how?
Because the fact of the matter is, that's an oligarchy. They are the ruling class in Russia. So they will say, I actually read up properly. What the hell is an oligarch? Because I've always known what an oligarch is. And it turns out, yeah, it's Putin, oligarchs, and then the government.
Yeah.
And that's why they're getting punished. That's why they realize.
It's basically, I've been trying to explain. It's basically Adam Silver, the owners of the NBA team. The teams, yes. The players. That's basically what it is.
Yes.
For people who don't
cop
what
you're trying to say. Yeah, no, please. And to the listeners, please explain to your friends that's why they're being targeted. Because they are the people who are the buffer or the foundation of Putin's power.
And so, well done, thank you. And so, they said, sir. We are taking your seat. You can just hear Julius, get out, man. Yeah, I'm not driving. So you're not driving. Yeah, out. Bye. Sorry. Sorry, boo. It's just not happening.
Bye, peace, Nikita.
Peace, my man. And Nikita said, in an Instagram post, he felt so upset about it because he found out, just like everybody else, the statement was released. Nobody discussed it with him. He was even willing to drive under a neutral flag. No, they gave him no choice. You out. Now, the company is called, which I also thought was quite interesting, Ukrel or something like that.
Yes.
You know, and initially I was like, Ukrel sounds very
suspiciously close to a name that we,
you know, it sounds very, very
close
to. I need to get the name of the thing correct.
Yeah.
But anyway, point is, I said, no, bro, you can't. No, it's not happening. Get out. It's not happening. Okay.
Hey.
Now, part of why Nikita got the seat to drive was because the father was going to be there.
The owner,
the title sponsor. No, not the owner, but the title sponsor. And you know how expensive it is to run a Formula One team. I mean, it's
obscene.
It's obscene. You know, we just saw that the Williams family sold the Williams racing team because, you know, partly because the daughter was now running it, and it was super expensive, and she just, you know, they had a budget. You know, Ferrari doesn't have a budget, for example. They can invest into insurmountable amounts of money. It's called Uralkali. That's the company.
Okay.
But still very, very, very close.
Close, yeah.
So you need billionaire owners. You need sponsors. You need, because engines are expensive. Yeah. You know, things are expensive. And they were like, listen here, Chum, you're out. And then a story I read this morning. This shit cracked me up. The owner, the team principal for Haas F1, the boss's name is Günther Steiner, a very German man. Very German. Very, very, very German man. He don't fuck around. He literally told Nikita Mazepin, people hate you. You know how people hate you? Because you're an ass. And he kind of acted like glorified, like, no, my dad sponsors, Bruce. I can say what I want.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
he was full of cuck. Okay.
He's full of cuck. So it was basically like, look, yeah, bro, the engineers, they're scared of you. They don't want to talk to you. You could say, oh, the car's unreliable or this. And it's like, in this season's fourth episode, which focuses on Haas, Mazepin frequently seen complaining that the team is not following his wishes and even suggesting that his teammate's car is faster than his own. It's because his teammate knows how to talk to people because daddy taught him that shit. Like, hey, listen, when you talk into the team, you know, you got to make them feel a part of the process because you might be the driver, but they put that shit together. And they'll fuck with your life. Right?
They can sabotage you.
They can kill you. He said in the episode, it's simply unreliable, he says of the car during the episode. So now it's out there on Netflix. Out there, one time. Hey. At one point, Mazepin's complaints and rudeness on the team radio led Haas team boss, Günther Steiner, to exasperately exclaimed, my bishop's English really had to come out there. Fucking hell, that's why people hate you. This fucking shit here, Steiner continues, while sitting on the pit wall. It does not appear he directly addressed his comment to Mazepin. So he's already been
on skating. He's been five.
You know, he was at 5-5, basically. You know, he was at 5-5. It was coming, but they obviously had to. They couldn't let him go because Daddy was the one who was sponsoring team. And without Daddy's billionaire investment or billions or millions investment to pay the drivers, to pay, because you know it's not just the car. You have to pay pit crews. You have to pay
those people, those pressed people, you've got to pay. Yep, listen, man, you've got a whole lot of shit. It's a lot. Okay. And it got so bad, Mazepin has been a controversial figure in Formula One since he arrived in the sport. His time in the sport came largely as a result of his father Dimitri's company, Ucrali, sponsoring Haas. So basically, good old nepotism at its finest helped you get a seat. He irritated drivers because of his driving style. In fact, I remember at one point, he nearly took off Lewis Hamilton. And right, so let's fast forward to the point that is today. It's just all the privilege. I just, you know how much I love privilege. In the days after being removed by Haas, Mazepin was added to a European Union sanctions list due to his father's ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. So they teed him up. They teed him up nicely. The EU declared Dmitry Mazepin a member of the closest circle of allies and said his chemicals business was providing substantial revenue to the Russian government. Nikita Mazepin is the son of Dmitry Arkadyevich Mazepin, general director of, I'm not going to go through all of that.
Yeah.
Uralchem.
He's connected.
Check this out. Uralchem is a conglomerate that part owns Uralkali, among other companies. As Uralchem sponsors Haas F1, Dmitry Mazepin is the major sponsor of his son's activities at the Haas F1 team. He is a natural person with a leading business person, his father, involved in economic sectors, providing a substantial source of revenue to the government of the Russian Federation, which is responsible for the annexation of Crimea and destabilization of Ukraine. Boom. Zek.
One, two, you're out.
Say that again. What did you say? No, before that. There you go. I need to learn this language. We got you, you're out. And then this guy's complaining. Oh, they took away my seat. As South Africans would do.
Damn. I was not. The thing is, now when you mentioned Mazepin, I've totally forgotten that the F1 in Russia this year is not going to take place. I was just not aware that
it's also now. I'm really hoping that it comes to Hockenheim, which is about.
Is that where you're moving? Or close?
No, the world doesn't know that I'm not moving anywhere. I'm staying right here.
Exposing.
Hockenheim is about, I would say about 15 k's from here, 15, 20 k's from where I am right now. So you could, I drove past it the other day and I did a fun run on there. It's like a 5k. Okay. The track is 5k.
Oh, I was going to ask, how long is it?
5k. And I'm just secretly hoping that they reallocate it to.
Yeah,
it'll be a great birthday present for my daughter on her first birthday to not appreciate. But daddy will appreciate it. So it's bad because this is what it boils down to, right? Inner circles that have the money that can bankroll a government, and it must be 20 guys. The most is 20 guys, right? They have infinite amounts of money. And if you are somehow or some way attached to that man, you're ridden with stink now.
But we saw that coming and they've enabled him. The problem is, they, as that podcast we listened to, the ESPN Daily thing, showed how nebulous the relationship is between Putin and the oligarchs. It's a two-way, three-way, four-way, five-way relationship.
You know what I think
everybody's,
we should do?
Everybody's benefit.
I think what we should do is, and it's going to take a little bit of investigation, but I think we should look this up. I think I'm going to look this up and really, I know that ESPN really dived into the sporting aspect, but
it'd be interesting to hear what people really actually think about this aspect of, and you know what, and let's be honest with people, and I keep saying this, there's no place for a war anywhere. There's no place for any kind of,
not in this day and age, bro.
There's no place for any kind of prejudice against anybody, regardless of what you look like, even against each other. I'm not for that. But when a motherfucker crazy, and the man crazy, then we're gonna, you know, and it's sad that in a country that talks about democracy and being open to the world, you are locking up your people. And now look at the effect that it's creating on those people and those businesses and their lives. And yes, it's fucking up the West and Europe and all of that. But you cannot be that warped. And on that rather sour and interesting
sad note, it's
we have to end this podcast, but thank you for taking the time to listen to us lament. And it's so nice to have Keba actually talk coherently about sporting things. But
granted, people have got hot takes. I have hot takes.
But I will say this. I will be in the coming weeks be paying attention to the NBA as it's going to start heating up. Yes. As the Lakers drive further towards not even being in the playing game. Mm-hmm. To seeing what the Chicago Bulls do. Interesting that the Warriors have been not playing well since Draymond left. Since Draymond got injured.
Wait, Draymond left, no?
I got injured. He got injured. He got injured.
Amazing. He got injured. Yeah.
His effect on the team.
Has he had an impact? No, yes.
I think also, you know, Clay coming back, all that energy was great. But I think now the grind of actually playing, it's, you know, he hasn't played for 2 years. It, you know.
Yeah. So
we got to see how that boils down. But he's still there. And we will see as time goes on, we will see. Oh, baseball. I think that baseball, they finally came to an agreement. The owners and the players. So there'll be no more lockup pretty much soon. So they can all go back to work. NFL always has trades. There's been some interesting stuff happening. World cricket, sadly, lost a legend a week ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything of the best to him and his family, and one of the greats.
Yeah, soul rest in eternal peace.
Rest in peace. And obviously there'll be some rugby to discuss soon.
Now that I think, because now this is probably the round everybody's been looking forward to in the URC, the Europeans in South Africa, because history tonight is being made. The Scarlets coming through to play the Sharks. The Bulls are playing Munster in the match of the weekend. That's a very good test of where the Bulls are. It's going to be very interesting watching your Arge Snyman and Damon Dalander at Loftus playing for not a South African team. That'll be very strange. That's what I'm looking for.
And then, do we not get treated to the Stormers doing something weird?
We are going to slap Zebre in Danny Craven. Do you know how sad I am that I couldn't go? Which is very clever. I think taking these games to smaller grounds, create that chies, and then once the crowds return, you know.
My man.
Yes.
Thank you so much for taking the time. We'll see
It's a pleasure.
We'll do this again next week.
It's been a week of tears for me. All my teams suck. Yes, friend.
All right, we got to sign off. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I got to go.
Chapter is, do you have
Thank you for taking the time to listen to that episode. I hope you enjoyed it. We will get in depth into obviously this last week's news and info and chat a bit about that, and see how far the war rages on and get into the grips of everything else that's going on in the world. It's difficult times, especially here in Europe, as you see women and children evacuating and getting out of Ukraine, and having seen men
take up arms and fight against the Russian army. Things you just don't want to see in your lifetime, or hoped you would never see in your lifetime. And it just seems like we're always fighting. But we've got to look forward and try and remain positive that there will be an end to this soon, and that it comes together, regardless of what your political affiliations are and so on. You know, it's right now we want a safe world. So catch you soon. Take care, look after yourselves, and stay tuned on Instagram, Facebook, for the latest news.